Chapter 5. The Great Hives. Absalom Continent, Agrellon. 747-999-M41. One by one, Agrellon's great metropolises began to fall. The first to face Shadow Sun's impeccably planned onslaughts were the three hives of the Acacian Basin. This time the White Scars, after being humbled at the Battle of Black Shale Ridge and ordered to retreat to Agrellon Prime, were unable to prevent the Tau offensive that hammered out from each hive's blind spots. With the main gun nests and artillery domes of each Acacian hive buried under thousands of tons of ferrocrete, Shadow Sun's carders picked apart each mountainous city like razor ants dismantling the carcass of a dying grox. The Imperium was slow to learn from its mistakes, but it was not incapable. The War Council of Agrellon Prime, forced to admit that the Acacian hives were as good as lost, resolved that those cities yet to be attacked would not be caught slumbering. They placed every hive on full alert, ensuring their artillery domes were manned around the clock, and their Vigilis-class servo skulls were actively questing for signs of Tau invaders. Imperial knights strode around the fractured borders of each vast city, ready and eager for battle at a moment's notice. In the meantime, they turned their cannons upon those outcrops and spires that occluded the hives' fields of fire, methodically demolishing them with melter blasts or the relentless pounding of battle cannon shells. Despite the evacuations preceding each clearance, many citizens were lost in the landslides of rockcrete that were created by each barrage. Yet, as each hive's cataracts were removed one by one, its vision was sharpened once more, and the gold zones that Shadow Sun had used to such effect in the Acacian Basin were eliminated. With the Tau's advantage of surprise spent in the initial phases of the war, Agrellon was ready and waiting for the next bout of bloodshed. A world given over to the production of war materiel was now armed and armoured to the hilt. Ultimately, it made little difference. Immortis Hive, whose outer walls were so thick that conventional bombardments were useless against it, fell to its own defences. Though dormant gravity mines studded the folds in its walls, each intended to drag enemies into a pre-prepared kill zone, their locations had been determined long ago. Even before she had made planetfall, Shadow Sun's orbital scans had uncovered their unusual energy signatures. At their commander's behest, Tau range support carders edged towards the hive and sent their nimble gun drones to make a simultaneous approach. Small enough to evade the auspice arrays of the monolithic structure, the drones closed in, disc-like beads on a gossamer-thin garrot closing around the hive's throat. The drones triggered every one of the mines in a single diving assault, and the resultant gravitic dissonance was so strong that, although the gun drones were crushed flat, the hive's walls were made momentarily vulnerable by their own density. The carders' subsequent railgun volleys spread hairline cracks that turned to finger-wide gaps, then gaping fissures until the impossibly strong gravity fields tore the walls down under their own weight. Under the cover of the colossal dust clouds thrown up by the ruinous collapse, hunter carders by the dozen powered inside, debarking from their anti-grav devilfish transports to cut down the hive's defenders in a merciless urban war. Gorvis Hive, the fiercest and most vigilant of all its kind, fell to the wiles of Shazre Dre. In the shadowy depths of the hive's industrial layers, Dre's chameleonic battlesuit teams were all but undetectable. Each stealth group fought its way through the territory of fierce underhive gangs and up to the sloping shoulders of the hive, emerging bloodied but undetected onto the artillery eyries overlooking the plains. The precision violence of their ambush cut down the crew of each artillery battery with ease, their fusion blasters reducing the Hydra flak tanks themselves to molten scrap. By robbing Gorvus Hive of its anti-aircraft capabilities, the stealth groups had ensured that their air-caste allies could close in unmolested. Razor Sharks shot down those few aircraft the Hive could launch in its defence, as Paradox squadrons circled the spires like vultures, dropping stasis bombs on the canopies and domes that protected its people from Agrellan's toxic atmosphere. The deadly zephyrs of the planet's wastes slowly filtered into the Hive's innards, and soon panic had broken out in every district. It was as potent a weapon of conquest as any bomb. Gorvite citizens fought tooth and nail for the rebreathers and Puritan canisters that were worn by the richer members of the populace, just as Shadow Sun had known they would, for humans were selfish and had little concept of a greater good. Before the hour was out, the Hive's gates had been flung wide by swarming refugees seeking the safety of neighbouring cities. The people that formed the Hive's lifeblood spilled out onto the toxic plains in screaming rivers and desperate pooling crowds. So it was that whilst Immortis fell from without, Gorvus fell from within. Rebellion took Barantius Hive, a fortress famous for the great macro cannons that girdled its thick waste. After inveigling their way inside the Underhive, Watercast ambassadors had traded cutting-edge plasma weaponry to every gang leader they could find in exchange for little more than a handful of Imperial silver. When the Adeptus Arbites came for the Tau that had been anonymously reported as lurking in the Ganges midst, the trigger-happy Hivers were more than ready to test out their new guns in defence of their new friends. Skirmishes turned into bloodbaths as the enforcers of the noble houses came down heavily upon those gangs that had dared resist them. With the temper of the oppressed masses already dangerously short, the Tau ambassadors found it easy to fan the spark of revolt into a raging inferno. The entire Underhive mobilized into an uprising that coursed through the Hive City, consuming it layer by layer, as the word craft of the Tau ambassadors worked its subtle magic. Before the day was out, even the highest spires were taken, not by Tau warriors, but by human guerrillas, only too glad to turn the tables on their long-time oppressors. In the end, Barantius fell without a single one of the macro cannons being fired. Predominus Hive was next. Huge shield discs jutted from every structure sturdy enough to hold them, a profusion of hemispheres reminiscent of the plate fungus that clusters to the trunk of an ancient tree. Though they were individually weak, when all of these discs were at maximum output, the Hive was shrouded by a shimmering cloak of energy that could deflect artillery shells and las cannon beams alike. With every generator in the lower Hive given over to these defences, the populace considered themselves invulnerable. The Hive's citizens were to be disabused of this notion in the most horrific and final of ways. As Agrellan's great cities were taken apart in a dozen locations, the planet's moon appeared full and gloating directly above the spires of Predominus. From the armor glass balconies and vivariums of the Hive's upper levels, a tiny blue flicker could be seen in the planetoid's deepest crater. The flicker grew larger, then larger still, until it hurt to look at the sky. Then, with a window-shattering thunderclap, a column of fusion energy the width of a mag train stabbed down into the topmost spire of Predominus. It blasted the Hive apart from within, 100,000 gun ports and archways venting sheets of blue-white energy in a single cataclysmic explosion. As Shadow Sun had predicted, the fusion lance's fell energies were contained within the same protective force fields that had been designed to protect the Hive. Instead of being released, they raged like a trapped firestorm, burning away every living thing inside and out, until the hive was little more than crumbling ash. The price of such destructive power was high, for the titanic release of energy from the Earth-cast megaweapon upon Agrellan's moon caused a fusion reactor meltdown of unprecedented scale. The backlash consumed half of Agrellan's moon in blue fire, cracking the rest of the honeycombed orb into little more than space debris. Yet the deed was done. For the loss of less than 50 Earth-cast scientists, the Tau Coalition had obliterated over 7 billion hivers. Adronicus Hive fell next, then Stormspire, then Olneus, each taken down by a military masterstroke that turned the hive's power against itself. Shadow Sun's worldwide Montka strategy had halved the planet's population and reduced its fortresses to rubble in the space of a single day. Yet for all the deadly genius that Shadow Sun had exhibited elsewhere on the planet, it was the conquest of Agrellan Prime that was to become legendary. Kosaru Khan leapt forward out of the cupola of the Rhino steel steed, toxic winds whipping across his face as the transport hurtled through the desiccated forest. The air was foul, and he could feel his multi-lung pumping at maximum capacity next to his spine. At least he could see his surroundings. Moondraken would take weeks to replace, and in the meantime there was no way he was going to hide from sight like a Tau coward. The Khan's transport was the arrowhead point of an armoured column that made all speed towards the evac site at Agrellan Prime. Each vehicle bore the white and red heraldry of the White Scars, the remains of its biker squads acting as outriders on either flank. Inside each Rhino and Razorback was a squad itching for battle, praying for the Xenos to bar their path so they could take a measure of revenge before the evacuation craft bore them into the night sky. Less than 100 meters ahead of the steel steed, the contrails of Raven Guard jump packs flickered blue. The Khan's allies shot through the forest, their fast but stealthy approach in stark contrast to the White Scar's juggernaut charge. Shrike had insisted the Khan's men take the forest road, sticking to the natural camouflage of the white trees for as long as possible, before making a break for the walls of Agrellan Prime. After his losses at Blackshale Ridge, Corsaro had reluctantly acquiesced, part of him silently grateful that his loss of the steed Moondraken would be less evident if they rode through woodland instead of the open wastes.
"Slippery Tau hag," he muttered into the wind.
The enemy commander had twice escaped him now, twice evaded Moonfang's steel bite. If the witch hadn't have been Xenos, perhaps. Perhaps the hatred he felt for her would be closer to respect. A cloud of orange flame flickered up ahead, and the trunks of dead trees threw out stark shadows as shrill screams rose into the night. On either side of the forest road, baleful eyes flashed in the gloom. The Khan caught flashes of heavy-set figures with their backs flattened against the desiccated trunks, white tree dust smeared across their muscled frames. Catachans. Corsaro knew fellow hunters when he saw them, but as for what they were waiting for. An avian caw jolted Corsaro from his thoughts, and there came a clang of clawed feet on metal from behind him. He ducked on instinct, just as a jagged blade attached to a hunting rifle swept overhead, ripping a clump of black hair from his topknot. Face set in a grimace of contempt, the Khan punched upwards and grabbed the rifle's shaft, yanking it forward to draw its owner into his line of sight. A gangly Xenos stared down with beady black eyes, beak open and head quills shaking in a primitive threat display. A Kroot mercenary. Savage in a fight, but easily broken. The creature's head exploded, showering the cupola and its occupant with foul-smelling gore. Corsaro shouldered up to lean out of the hatch once more and scan his surroundings. He could hear bolter fire and see the flicker flare of mass reactive shots detonating in the distance. To the right of Steelsteed rode Jubali, grinning fiercely under his mask of whipping black hair. He had a smoking bolt pistol in his hand.
"That kill was mine,"
bawled Corsaro, wiping Xenos' blood from his face.
"My apologies, Steedless One,"
laughed his battle brother over the din of the armored column's engines.
"At least you look a bit more like your old gory self now."
The Khan shrugged, picking up the remains of the Xenos corpse's arm and biting down into it so that blood ran down his chin. The muscle was stringy and foul, but he could feel his gut thanking him for the protein nonetheless. He smiled redly at Jubali and flung the rest of the arm at his head.
"There's whole tribes of these things,"
shouted Jubali, expertly swaying his bike so the Khan's improvised projectile flailed past him.
"Strakhan's lot are hunting them."
"No time to join in," replied the Khan. "Stick to the plan."
A solid slug pinged hard from his pauldron, some tree-hidden Kroot sniper's best shot. Corsaro snorted in irritation, picking his helmet from the mag clamp at his waist and pushing it down hard over his head.
"Do not fall to this distraction,"
he voxed to his men.
"We've a real battle to fight. Punch through the thick of it, then on to the hive walls."
Jubali nodded his understanding and peeled off, the bolters on the front of his bike thumping out shells into the night. The noise of battle up ahead was intensifying. Blossoms of flame illuminated long-limbed Kroot and thickly muscled Catachans as they darted through the darkness. Catachan blood spurted in black arcs. Hunting staves swung and chopped. Alien flesh sizzled as lasguns stabbed pinpoint volleys through the darkness. The Khan breathed in the heady scent of war, opening a vox channel to his brethren, whilst the White Scars column bullied its path through the sparse forest.
"Engage only those in your path, brothers. Do not slow," the Khan said. "Deliver what wrath you can from atop your steeds."
His men answered only with gunfire, those in the armored column behind throwing open the top hatches of their rhinos to send bolt shells blasting into the Kroot snipers crouching in the trees. Xenos remains pattered out of the white boughs like the flesh of burst fruit. Up ahead, a squadron of squat-bodied Imperial Guard tanks bulldozed their way into a clearing. The Khan chuckled evilly as he recognized the silhouettes of their giant Promethean barrels. Hellhounds. The oily scent of ignited Promethean billowed through the forest, and a roiling bow wave of flame blasted a nearby copse of trees to burning splinters. The Khan saw long-limbed figures blaze like tallow candles in a bonfire before falling away to ash. Dozens of Kroot fled from the hellhounds, sprinting right towards the armored column. They flitted and darted from tree to tree like shadows given life. Shouting a wordless war cry, the Khan pivoted the cupola's storm bolter and sent a volley of rocket-propelled shells thudding into scattering aliens and desiccated vegetation alike. Each deadly little cylinder detonated on impact to spray bone-white powder and Xenos remains in a wide radius. The weapon bucked hard in the Khan's hands as it killed foe after foe, and the rhino kicked like a mule as it crunched over those Xenos too slow to scatter out of its path. Corsaro savored the prickly feeling of hot adrenaline pumping through his system. Armored warfare. There was nothing quite like it. The Raven Guard, as focused and driven as ever, had avoided the fighting entirely to boost out of the forest and onto the parched earth girdling the hive's walls. The Khan almost envied them their focus. He could no sooner pass through a forest of foes without taking a few kills than he could devour a land raider. Still, their advance had not slowed, and the edge of the desiccated woodland was in sight. The White Scars column bullied its way out of the forest at breakneck speed, the crushed remains of Kroot mercenaries gumming the tracks of many of its vehicles. A few kilometres distant, the man-made mountain of High Vergrellen loomed impossibly tall. Its spires disappeared up into the glowering clouds, though its perimeter wall loomed close, a promise of safety wrought in brutalist rockcrete. On its upper slopes, ancient guns clanked and huffed, steam gouting from their gargoyle-mouthed vents as they ground into new firing positions. The Khan could swear they were taking a bead on his armoured column. Or perhaps, thought the Khan, aiming at an unseen foe closing in upon it.
"Beware the flanks, battle brothers!" shouted the Khan. "Close all hatches! The alien is near!"
No sooner had the Khan given his command than a shoal of Xenos war machines hurtled down out of the low-hanging clouds towards them. Grav-skimmers, fighters, drones, battlesuits, every one of them bore down upon the White Scars with their guns spitting blue-white plasma. The Raven Guard jetting off ahead and the Catachans sprinting across the plains behind them were easy targets, but the Xenos ignored them entirely. The Khan could feel it in his bones. This was about revenge. Several bikes tumbled away into the dust as the Tau volleys hit home, and a Razorback flipped over as a volley of missiles struck its tracks. Rhinos were rocked on their suspension by Seeker missiles that slammed into their hatches over and over again, hammering in hard as if trying to get at the Space Marines inside. The Khan growled in frustration, longing to change tactic and engage them head-on, but knowing the time for such tactics had passed.
"Force, Jacoba! Force, Kennick! Introduce yourself!"
Corsaro growled into the vox. A moment later, he heard the signature boom of turbo-boosted engines as 8 landspeeders and a Storm Raven gunship roared out from the forest road to fill the skies with heavy bolter fire. Many of the shells hit home, and the blazing wreckage of Tau drones and light aircraft fell out of the skies, long plumes of smoke trailing behind them as they corkscrewed towards the parched earth. A guttural chanting came from behind Corsaro. Sudaber had shouldered his way out of the steel steed's top hatch, his force staff raised high. The seer's eyes filled red, the air around him crackling faintly as his conjuration reached its zenith. Far above, the clouds above the approaching Tau strike force began to curl.
"Ha!"
barked the Khan.
"Show them a real storm, old friend!"
The curling clouds turned into a spiral, then a vortex, its interior lit with ruddy streaks of lightning. Here and there an electrical bolt would crackle out with a loud snapping sound, discharging towards the Tau warsuits that were sending missiles arcing down towards their position. Several of the bipedal weapons platforms took direct hits, and though they were left physically intact, they fell away nonetheless, dropping like falling statues to the earth. The Khan's breath came quick. The vast city's walls were less than 3 kilometres away. They could still make it. Even under heavy fire, they could make it. He looked to the west and saw dim shadows. He looked up, and his eyes widened. Drifting down from the lightning-haunted skies came a new kind of death. 4 alien war machines emerged from the roiling clouds, so large and powerful that any one of them could have flipped the steel steed with one hand. The ever-present warsuits of the Tau the Khan had fought before. They were usually as tall as a dreadnought and carried much the same firepower. Yet even those deadly things would barely have come up to the waists of the technological horrors that now came for them. A single cyclopean eye glowed dull red in each boxy head, nestled small amongst the massive bulk of their segmented torsos and jetpack arrays. On the left arm of each massive warsuit, discus shields shimmered, tiny flickers of Sudabe's red lightning dancing across the domes of force they projected. on their right arms were guns almost as large as the Khan Spear's turbo laser destructor. The paired giants at the front of the formation raised their cannons. Complex rotary weapons whose multiple barrels whirred into black and ochre blurs. The rising whine of the spinning barrels was soon joined by great bass pulses, the weapons booming woo, 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 as arm-sized plasma bolts blitzed into the Raven Guard. Wherever the blinding white lozenges struck home, black-armored space marines were bowled 6 meters into the dust, skidding to a halt in a tangle of smoking limbs and charred ceramite. Behind them came two more of the monstrosities, boosting forward to take up kneeling stances in the dust. Bluish light poured from the vents in their double-barreled cannons as their thrumming reactors powered up for the shot. A crack missile shot out from one of the rhinos in the middle of the armored column, its firer hoping to disrupt whatever barrage was to come. His aim was true, and the missile smacked right into the leftmost warsuit, detonating with a clap of percussive force. It did nothing more than discolour the Colossus's ochre hide. Then the warsuits returned fire. With an enormous blaring tzoom, two starbursts of ion energy flared out from the underslung cannons. Each boulder-sized sphere burned a trail through the air before smacking straight into the armored column. One of the blinding balls punched into the side of a rhino, annihilating a full half of its hull in an instant. Flailing space marines spilled out amongst the smouldering remains of their comrades a moment before the vehicle exploded with a ground-shaking boom. The other energy sphere burst upon the hull of a Razorback, incinerating its upper half and turning its las cannon turret into a pillar of crackling smoke. The stricken vehicle veered, tilted, and slowly toppled over, sending nearby bikers scattering away from its burning wreck.
"Keep moving!"
shouted the Khan, waving at his men to circumvent the ruined transports.
"Full throttle! Full dispersal!"
Muting the vox for a second, Corsaro clucked his tongue in frustration and anger. With the Thunderhawks gone, they had nowhere near enough firepower to deal with this new threat, let alone the massed Tau strike force on their right. Their only hope was speed and determination. Luckily, those were qualities the White Scars had in great measure. The Rhinos and Razorbacks broke into a loose pack and accelerated hard, their biker escorts swerving and kinking in a loose perimeter around them. The land speeders, still harrying the strike force descending on the right flank, wove interlocking patterns that made it all but impossible to settle crosshairs upon them. Then a Grellan hive spoke, a single word of death that shook the earth. One of the giant Tau warsuits was blown to scrap in an instant, its internal reactor sending a mushroom cloud high into the air as the hive's ordnance hit home. The other three suits rocked back in surprisingly human stances, their discus shields flaring as their force fields soaked up the worst of the baleful energies. Turning back to the White Scars, the warsuits opened fire once more, as intent on the kill as any true hunter. The multi-barreled rotary cannons of the foremost warsuits perforated the steel steed in half a dozen places, and the Khan ducked low into the cupola as the vehicle shuddered like a frightened beast. Yet the stout machine kept going, carving a zigzag path into the shadow of the hive walls. The same could not be said for the men inside. Three of the runes corresponding to the Khan's command squad flickered red in his helmet display.
"Apothecary Stebek, tend to those hit by that last volley," snapped the Khan,
the medic in the steel steed's hold voxing acknowledgement.
"Solaris Gate, hearken all stations,"
shouted Corsaro, watching in envy as the surviving Raven Guard triggered their jump packs to bound effortlessly over the perimeter wall.
"We require immediate entry. We're under heavy fire out here. We request entry."
The Voxnet crackled, but there was no response. Behind him, another blaring tzoom was followed by the dull crump of a vehicle detonation. In the distance, two more explosions erupted from the transports at the rear of the column. Orange death fires illuminated the cloud of smaller battlesuits hovering above them like a host of predatory angels.
By the Emperor's holy throne, Solaris, give us an open port or I'll cut my way inside and kill you myself!
Quite impossible, came the gate master's reply, his prim tone failing entirely to conceal the panic beneath. Then, in a blaze of light, an opening appeared in the great Agrellan wall. But it was not the warriors of the Imperium who had made it. The yield capacitors of Shadow Sun's fusion blasters blipped gold. She dropped down from the flickering skies towards the column of boxy Imperial vehicles and triggered another full shot, twin beams of destructive energy spearing vertically downwards. She hit one of the lumpen things full on, an olive-hued tank that was little more than a mobile box filled with Gwela troopers. The transport exploded with a satisfying thump, and its passengers spilled out, grabbing for rebreathers or rolling out the fires that clung to their disgusting porcine flesh. Yelling in defiance, the gunners in the cupolas of the other transports pivoted their pintle-mounted weapons towards the source of the killing shot. Shadow Sun swung her hips back and her chest forward, her battlesuit smoothly boosting away from the chattering streams of slugs sent in her direction. Even a raw recruit could have avoided the ill-timed volley fired by the human soldiers, and her stealth cells made her all but invisible against the flickering clouds above. Such poor warriors did not deserve to face the might of the XV-104s. As if to prove her point, Dre's team came alongside her, levelled their burst cannons, and tore apart the cupola gunners in a storm of blood and plasma.
This really is too easy, thought Shadow Sun.
There was little honour in shooting a fleeing foe, especially one as dull of wit as the Imperial Guard. Even their name was ridiculous. She was almost regretting ordering the Riptides to engage the Gwairon Shah instead of tackling them herself. Still, she reminded herself, Aunvar had other duties in mind for her. It was time for the killing blow to fall.
Counter-strike Cardus, she transmitted, her tones clipped and sure. Neutralize as many of these transports as possible. First strike, Carter. I want that wall breached immediately. Approach on appended vectors, Riptides to the fore. Full Nova, then Sentinel Protocols. O'Kenyon, use the drop net to get high-yield footage. Sky Strike, Carter. Your Riptides have the honor of being the first inside. Prepare a path.
The ascent symbols of the Riptide wings flashed gold, their size and unfamiliarity filling Shadow Sun with quiet pride. To have such warriors at her command, to be the first in the Empire to wield them as her blade, it was an honour beyond measure. She could feel the pull of Montka tugging at her soul. With weapons such as these, yes, kill, send them to their graves. Shadow Sun felt a hot prickle of unease cross her skin. She could have sworn she had turned the auto-trans off when she was mustering the carders in the cloud cover to prevent unnecessary distractions. Mont-Ka required total focus. Ahead of her, the Riptide she had claimed for her first strike carder dropped out of the clouds above the hive's wall. Their Nova reactors thrummed to a crescendo as they hovered to a halt in front of the gate's towers. Suddenly, blue-white spheres shot from their energy cannons, hitting home with such force they chewed a wide breach in the eagle-emblazoned gate. The walls around the opening were riven by a web of cracks, tumbling rubble carrying those Imperial guardsmen that had been manning the gate's battlements to a rocky demise. The XV-104s had blasted open the human fortress in a single devastating salvo. Behind the breach, the hive's sprawling innards were laid bare. An iron-grated perimeter road met a cliff wall of pipes and platforms, across which Hundreds of ant-like citizens scurried, desperate to escape. Imperial Guard troops pushed their way through the teeming hivers to take up positions on landing pads and crenulated defense stations. Shadow Sun flew in close to the hive's outer wall, blasting the face from a statue of an Imperial saint as she passed by. The paired riptides that had ripped open the city's wall bracketed her like armored giants escorting an airborne goddess. Behind her, the three surviving riptides that had mauled the Gueron Shah tanks hovered towards the breach at speed, boosting over the postern gate on contrails of blue flame. They unleashed a hail of heavy burst cannon fire as they came back down in the perimeter streets, splayed metal feet landing with a rock-crete shattering crunch. The other two riptides stood guard, interposing themselves between the oncoming armored column and the safety beyond the breach. Shazvre Dre's stealth teams were already inside, sowing confusion and distraction amongst the Gwela troopers rushing to reinforce the breach. This would be the battle that the Tau Empire demanded of her. Loud, spectacular, and bloody in the extreme.
"The way has been opened, Master," she transmitted on a secure frequency. "My teams are securing it now."
Aunvar's grey face flickered large.
"Not before time, O Shazera. I shall begin my descent."
"Acknowledge, Master,"
sent Shadow Sun, her heart beating hard. Soon, she would fight alongside the Supreme Ethereal himself. If their plan succeeded, a scene of timeless glory would blossom on every screen and hologram across the Empire. And if it failed, she would die in utter disgrace. The riptides of Shadow Sun's first strike Kada blocked the breach completely. The towering XV-104s standing shoulder to shoulder as they discharged accelerated ionic blasts into the scattered Gueron Shah below. Too brave or stupid to seek cover, the enemy still came on, despite over two-thirds of their number lying dead or dying across the cratered battleground outside the hive. Though she could not directly see the three riptides of the Skystrike Kada, their symbols glowed gold on her command suite as they strode impervious along the perimeter walls. Those enemy warriors ensconced in the hive's bulk were firing upon them with missiles, large-caliber bolts, even plasma fire of their own. Yet not one of the three battlesuits showed anything other than a healthy gold of full operative capacity. Shadow Sun watched a double string of heavy-burst cannon fire pulse white across the battlements. Wherever the plasma bolt struck, the human soldiers manning the walls were reduced to a fine red mist. Those who had hidden from the riptide's cannonades were torn apart by the smart missiles fired by the launchers mounted atop their shoulders, contrails snaking through the crenulations to double back hard and detonate with killing force. These beautiful new machines were a vision made real for the Firecast. Shadow Sun felt sad that Commander Puretide was not here to witness them. With the enemy reeling, the rest of the Commander's Counter-Strike Kada had approached the walls in their skimmer transports and were deploying in a tight guard formation. So far, so good, thought Shadow Sun. The next stage was already upon them. Soaring out from the flickering clouds over the plains was the pride of the Aircast's suborbital fleet, the Manta missile destroyer, Burning Hope. Red lightning played across its splayed wings, but even the mind science of the Gueron Shah Shaman had no hope of stopping such a massive craft. Shadow Sun smiled thinly. Tau technology, in sufficient measure, could overcome any challenge. The Burning Hope soared over the plains, coming in so low that the flattening force of its engines bowled over the human warriors darting amongst the wreckage beneath. As it bellied in close, the gunship's rail cannons let loose a volley with a deafening whip crack, shattering one of the hive's artillery domes before it could fire, and blasting the proud statuary above the secondary gate to powder. Burst cannons on the edge of the Hope's graceful hull poured plasma into the ruined battlements around the breach, forcing the black-armoured Gwaeron Shah taking position there to dive for cover. Then, as the rear portal of the burning Hope irised open and his escort carder deployed in parade formation, the supreme ethereal, Aun Var, entered the fray. Aun Var's fire warrior escort marched determinedly towards the breach, their pulse rifles levelling volley after volley at those Imperial troops disrespectful enough to look upon their leader. In the centre of the formation came the spiritual leader of the Tau Empire, seated comfortably upon his disc-like gravity throne. An expression of grim serenity radiated from his stately features as he intoned words of inspiration and conquest to his men. How Shadowsun wished she were one of them, a rank-and-file trooper shorn of the burden of command and free to drink in the heady sensations of the supreme ethereal's presence. Drink it all in, as she killed in his name. The Riptides, standing sentinel on either side of the breach, knelt in respect at Aun Var's approach, stabilizer pistons thunking out from their thighs as their ion accelerators hurled yet more glowing spheres at the oncoming Gwaeron Shah. Okenyon hovered high amongst a swarm of fellow drones, his networked artificial intelligences recording every angle of Aun Var's glorious entrance into the city. Then, with an ear-splitting screech of tortured metal, a giant chainsword blade burst out from the chest of the leftmost Riptide and juddered through its torso in a shower of sparks. A twisting burst of feedback roiled out, an artificial death cry that rang in every Tau ear as the indomitable Riptide fell in crackling halves to the rubble-choked ground. Shadowsun cried out and boosted in close, her Carder's crisis battlesuits behind her. Behind the dying Riptide stood a hunchbacked titan clad in the matte black of the grave. Skulls were emblazoned on every flat plane of its riveted armour, and red eye sensors glared out from the vision slit of its impassive metal helm. The apparition's upper half twisted around with an oily scream, its tapering cannon arm brought to bear upon the head of the second Riptide. The battlesuit, its shield arm lowered to protect Aun Var instead of itself, took a close-range battle cannon shell right to the head. The blast sent it reeling backwards, violet sparks fizzing from its decapitated torso to crackle from the rubble of the breach. The Riptide staggered upright, its systems whining hypersonically as it struggled to recalibrate. Shadowsun darted in close and leveled a double shot at the helm of the metal monster bearing down upon her battle-suited comrade. Her fusion blasts fizzled harmlessly across the thing's ion shield. The iron beast ignored her and stomped across the breach, contemptuously kicking a spray of rubble at the fire warriors, loosing ineffectual volleys at its flank. It raised the giant chain blade that formed its left arm and brought it slashing down at the stricken Riptide just as the battlesuit triggered its jetpack. The obsidian knight's chain blade caught the ascending Riptide's leg, ripping it bodily out of its hip socket. The monster's battle cannon clank pumped shell after shell after the fleeting machine, a grating machine sound coming from its mask that sounded uncannily like laughter.
"A worthy adversary," transmitted Aun Var over the open channel. "Commander Shadowsun, allow your blade to fall."
"Yes, master," she replied. "Skywing Carter, engage and neutralize that beast."
Before she could finish her command, a third Riptide shot horizontally across the breach on twin trails of fire, bodily smashing into the rear of the black-armoured walker and wrapping its arms around the thing's waist. Twisting hard, the riptide yanked the obsidian machine onto one foot, causing its massive shoulders to smash into the perimeter wall with such force that several black-armored Gwairon Shah toppled from the battlements, guns blazing as they fell. The Gwaila Walker fought to right itself. Its chain blade slashed the air as a second riptide ran past just out of reach, heavy burst cannons stitching plasma blasts across the monster's ion shield. The Imperial troops pouring into the breach had taken heart from the black-armored Titan's attack. The Space Marines amongst the rubble cut down fire warriors left and right with their bolt-spitting sidearms, several of their number even causing Aunvar's personal force shield to flash bright. Shadow Sun darted a horrified glance at the Ancient's image on the command screen, but she was greeted only by a serene mask.
None can shrink from sacrifice in the name of the greater good,
Aunvar boomed, his gaze directed at the Sealink drone that hovered above. Around him, the fire warriors were being forced back by the renewed assault of the black-armored Gwairon Shah and the supporting infantry that overlooked the battle from the platforms high above. More bolter fire hammered in, this time from outside the hive's walls. Shadow Sun felt her mouth go dry as she realized the Supreme Ethereal was in danger of being caught in a lethal crossfire.
The shield can often be more dangerous than the sword.
Full defense upon the Supreme Ethereal's escort, she shouted. I want a shield over Aunvar immediately. All first strike units enact now.
The tight-knit teams of Herkada hastened to obey, coming in low to the side of the breach where the Supreme Ethereal was hovering forward. They flew in dense formation, guns bristling outwards to shred anything that got close. Shadow Sun jetted in close to her master, her tanks and battlesuits closing in tight as a turtle's shell. She blipped a symbol of strength and stability to Herkada, but inside, she was dying. One stray shot is all it would take. One random, senseless bullet, and the flame that lit the heart of the Tau Empire would be extinguished forever. Trailing smoke, the steel steed careened across the cratered earth, making haste for the section of the breach that was not choked with Tau bodies. In the rhino's wake came the battered remnants of the armored column, bouncing and slewing through the rockcrete that was scattered around the breach.
Ha! Looks like Severax's little surprise has caught them unawares, laughed the Khan.
Sudaber harrumphed in disapproval from the opened top hatch behind him.
Stop gloating and get us in there, Corsaro, he said.
Aye,
replied the Khan, nodding and opening the Vox channel to his men.
We have our chance, brothers, he said. By the Emperor's grace, let's take it.
The drivers of each Rhino and Razorback ground their tracked vehicles through the dense rock of the felled wall as fast as they dared. Incredibly, the heavy concentration of Tau sheltering at the side of the breach let them past, firing only at the Raven Guard that were moving in to harass their position at close quarters. The remnants of the Catachan regiments followed close behind the Khan's company, their olive-armored chimeras grinding rubble to dust as they covered the last few meters into the hive. The Khan grabbed the storm bolter and swung it around to point at the Tau Kada's defensive huddle. But he did not fire. There was no sense in kicking that particular hornet's nest when salvation was within reach.
Solaris Gate, he voxed. Drop a macro cannon shell onto that nest of Xena's cockroaches, and all is forgiven.
Static crackled, but nothing more. High up in the artillery domes, the snap-crack of Xena's plasma weaponry gave the Khan the impression the only thing dropping from their positions would be human corpses. A tremendous clang of metal-on-metal rang out, and the titanic black walker that Corvin Severax had set upon the Tau staggered into view, locked in a wrestler's clinch with one of the massive Xenos warsuits. Both were fighting for a clear shot. Although the knight was clumsy in comparison to the Tau machine, it was far stronger. Levering a limb between itself and its assailant, the obsidian walker pushed the Xenos warsuit into its line of fire with the flat of its whirring chain blade. The Khan watched the Black Iron Walker blast its tower assailant backwards with a well-placed cannon shot. Stepping forwards into the space it had cleared, the knight brought its whirring chain blade down in a coup de grace that chewed its victim apart from shoulder to hip. As the obsidian knight's warhorns boomed in triumph, another massive Xenos warsuit descended from on high, smashing feet first into the knight's back and pitching it forwards into the sparking remains of its kill.
"Make all speed to the Grand Promenade!"
shouted Corsaro across the vox. He leveled a stream of storm bolter fire at a knot of Tau infantry, darting through the rubble in the shadow of the wall, only to be greeted by the serial click of his empty ammo cache running dry. No sooner had he swore in frustration than a new clip was passed up from inside the transport's hull. The Khan reloaded, watching the alien forces fan out as they loosed pulse beams in all directions. Their defensive firepower, formerly a spattering shower aimed only at those who got too close, was intensifying into a blistering hail. In the shadow of the perimeter wall, the obsidian knight blasted itself upright with a close-ranged volley to its fallen victim's guts. Riding the recoil, it staggered drunkenly backwards in a half-circle, righting itself before clank-thumping another battle cannon shell towards the Xenos warsuit hovering above. Its airborne foe twisted, letting the shell bounce from its torso with a dull thump. Its return fire blazed a stitching path of plasma bolts across the Black Walker's hull, overloading its ion shield and burning deep holes into its carapace. The steel steed swerved hard, banking around the obsidian walker's legs to veer into the streets beyond. The Khan whooped as the crenulated perimeter gave way to a triumphal parade ground with no less than five of House Terran's knights stomping down it. Behind him, the rest of the White Scar's transports fanned out into arrowhead formation, the remains of their biker escort accelerating hard towards the evac zone. The Khan turned all the way around in the steel steed's cupola, thudding explosive bolts into the ochre-armoured alien tanks swerving in pursuit. A score of streamlined gunships hovered into view, their rectangular cannons cracking hypervelocity rounds into the walkers on the boulevard beyond. The Khan heard the fizz of iron shield discharge over and over again, punctuated by the occasional clang of a solid impact. Suddenly, there she was. A flash of white blurring high along the grey rockcrete at their flank. The Xenos war leader, speeding on plumes of fire like a statue of some graven tech demon given life. She arced elegantly upwards, disc-like drones trailing in her wake, and loosed lengthwise fusion blasts into the Raven Guard manning the walls. Three of Severax's men burst into crackling cinders. The Khan plucked a crack grenade from his belt and flung it as hard as he could towards the Xenos commander's back. Somehow she saw it coming, and she twisted in midair, connecting a perfect toe punt before turning back to her prey. Corsaro was forced to duck as the crack grenade came in hard, detonating against the rhino's roof with a deafening bang and a stink of physoline. Despite himself, Corsaro raised his eyebrows and nodded in grudging appreciation. Engines growling, the White Scar transports gunned down the promenade until they passed through the iron wall of Terran's walkers. Jubali passed right underneath the lead walker, the rest of the bikes behind him. At the other end of the boulevard, Tau tanks and heavy battlesuits smashed railgun fire into the massive bulk of the Imperial Knights. The walkers returned fire, their battle cannons spitting shells at a rate that would make a Cadian tanker sick with envy.
"A Captain Khan, glad you could make it,"
voxed Patriarch Tybalt, his tone dry, even as he loosed a blast of superheated air from his thermal cannon.
"Kindly board the dropship, or I fear that Master Severin will let neither of us forget it."
Corsaro grunted his assent, waving his men up the yawning ramps of the dropships that awaited them in the triumphal plaza. In the battle behind them, one of Terran's knights fell slowly backwards with a creak of protesting metal, Its impact on the flagstones of the boulevard was so heavy that the Khan could feel the steel steed jump as if it had taken a direct hit. Another of the looming walkers burst into a thick pillar of flame as its inner core gave out, the stress on its ion shields killing it from the inside out. A thick worm of guilt writhed in Corsaro's guts at the idea of leaving the planet to the mercy of the Tau. But he had little choice. Agrellan Prime stood on the brink of collapse, and if the Hive Voxes told true, every other defensive position had already fallen to the Tau. Sudaba seemed to sense his old friend's thoughts, and laid a gauntlet upon his pauldron as they debarked from the smoking hull of the steel steed into the shadow of the dropship's cargo bay.
To linger here would be to sacrifice more lives on the altar of wounded pride, my Khan, said the Stormseer. Nothing more.
Corsaro spat in frustration as his vehicles mounted the ramps of the evac zone, the surviving Catachans close on their tracks. Even the Knights of House Terran that had been blocking the promenade had turned their mighty war machines around, ion shields flaring at their rears as they stamped towards the hangar bays of the dropships. At the far end of the triumphal road, the giant Tau warsuits that had blasted open Agrellan's defences hovered high. Speaker arrays slid out from their torsos to blare a message in accented but precise Imperial Gothic. As the piston ramps of the dropships closed with a hiss, the rumble of their engines slowly drowned out the broadcasts of the alien invaders. Not quickly enough for the Khan's liking. The Tau's message would ring in his ears for weeks to come.
"A people of Agrellan Prime," the speaker arrays called. "Your protectors have abandoned you. Watch as your Emperor's finest warriors flee, leaving you to your fate. Yet that fate is kinder than you suspect. Throw down your arms, and the killing will cease immediately. We bring enlightenment, peace, and freedom from tyranny. Yes, even freedom, blessed freedom from an emperor that would bleed you white. We bring safety for you and your families, safety and boundless prosperity. Citizens, lay down your arms and listen. Listen to the undeniable truth of the greater good."